Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. I'm the owner of Small Biz Consulting in Austin, Texas, and I do consulting and coaching with businesses of all sizes, but mostly with smaller businesses. Please let me know how I can help you be a great business. Today, I'm so happy to have Barry and Catherine Cohen with us from Together 24/7. They've been working together since 2003, probably longer than that, though. And what they focus on a lot, aside from helping other people build their companies, is helping families and couples work together in the same business. And you've got a podcast that's awesome, and I'm just so happy to have you guys on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Where are you guys are located in California?
Beautiful, sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
Ah, I was close.
Yep.
And so tell me a little bit about how you guys started working together for the same company.
Well, we both initially had companies of our own individually, and we were actually dared to start a company. We were all members of a certain type of company. And a friend of ours, after we were having a great session at lunch, said, well, if you think you can do better, do it yourself. So challenge accepted. There wasn't even a question. Catherine and I started researching, and there wasn't a question, can we work together? Can we not work together? We just did it.
Yes. And that was back in 2003.
And so I would imagine.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And so you guys have been working together for 13 years. I would imagine that there were some growing pains.
There were definitely in the beginning growing pains. And then as we sold one company, started another, and sold that company to create our new company, there were some growing pains in the question of, you know, who does what in the company. That would probably be the toughest thing to figure out if you've never figured that out before. So the two of you, if you've never sat down and said, you know, okay, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are my strengths and weaknesses? You kind of want the other person to be doing stuff that they're not comfortable with. And I think that was probably the worst of them.
I noticed that the two of you kind of have things divided up now fairly well, where Catherine, you're more focused on the people aspects of it. And Barry, you're more the technical end of things.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it all worked out. I've always been in the computer industry, so technical is what I do. Catherine is the creative end of everything. You know, when I met her, she'd be reading two or three books at any particular time at the same time. And right there, you know, that's something I could never do as the techie, the focused guy. I couldn't do that, but I see her doing that. Okay, you're the creative one. You come up with the big ideas. For the most part, she's the one that deals with the clients on a daily basis. However, when we're consulting and working with clients, it's always the two of us together.
Right. That's a big change for us right now. So our previous two companies had a big technical aspect to it. But now that we've, you know, honed down what we do and what we do best, which is, like you, working with small businesses, solopreneurs, and entrepreneurs, and couplepreneurs. I know two words that my husband hates, the combining words, but yeah.
I really do.
He doesn't like the new words in the vocabulary, but that's who we work with, and now we work, the two of us work that together. We still use the aspect of, you know, I will come up with the more creative ideas and the out-of-the-box thinking, and Barry will still come up with the more technical stuff, whether it be advising on websites or programs or even the numbers. We still have that differentiation. You know, your personality, your skills, it doesn't change. Just how do you apply it in the business that you've decided to create?
A lot of people would look at you and say, well, I could never work with my significant other and be together 24/7. What are some adjustments that you had to make so that it wasn't so stressful or it wasn't all business all the time?
Well, first of all, you have to really, really like your significant other. If you don't, if there are certain quirks that annoy the heck out of you at home, they're going to annoy the heck out of you even more at work. So some of the biggest adjustment, I think, is to make sure you don't push each other's buttons and you know your buttons well. You know, you're married, you live together, you sleep together, you eat together, you do everything together. You know what annoys your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever situation you happen to be in. You know what annoys them, so don't do that. Just stop.
The other thing I would say you mentioned
self-awareness is so hard. I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead,
you know,
Catherine.
Okay. So yeah, self-awareness is very hard. So be honest with the other person. Again, you know, people can be married and there are some marriages that, and trust me, we're not judging here, but okay, we have separate bank accounts. Well, Barry and I can't comprehend that, but if that's what works for you, that's what works for you. They go on separate vacations. We don't comprehend that, but if that's what works for you, that's what works for you. Now, if you guys are married, but your personalities are so separate, you don't really do activities together. You don't, you know, you don't do things on a regular basis together. You're together, but apart, it might not be the best situation for you to get into business together. If you do decide to get into business together and honest with each other and do it in the beginning, because you may figure out that you don't want to get into business with each other, how you, you know, how the other one approaches clients, how you talk to people, how you interact.
And you mentioned something about self-awareness. It's actually real easy when you're in a relationship and go into business together, because the other person will make you self-aware of everything.
By telling you.
Absolutely.
Whether you want them to or not.
Right. And so when you start to do that, if, you know, if it really looks bad, then stop the business thoughts and find a really wonderful couples counselor. And we've interviewed a number on our show, so, you know, you can go to our website and look one up.
I would imagine, yeah, because, you know, it's bad enough that a large percentage of small businesses go under within the first 3 years. But if you're in business with your partner and that goes south, you're losing not only your business but your life.
And that's one thing that you really have to be careful of. And we tell this to people all of the time. If you're going into business with your spouse, you got to have that separation. If the business goes south, make sure your relationship doesn't go with it. You just got to put that separation, close the door at the end of the day. Okay, you know, the business didn't work, fine. Let's move on with our lives. We're happy with each other. Do we want to start another business? Do we want to get jobs? Whatever it happens to be. Just make sure it does not affect your relationship.
And I would suppose that's probably the hardest part, because you've got to work on building both parts of your married personality. You've got to build your Barry and Catherine, and then you've got to build your business.
Absolutely. You have to build them both. So there's ground rules. You know, you always need to establish the ground rules ahead of time. Most couples don't do this, but when you find the problem, or a problem comes up, you have to opt and say, okay, what are our ground rules? I would suggest that the first ground rule be, it's only money. Whether you invest a whole lot of it and, you know, and at the end you've got to move back in with your parents, or, you know, whether, you know, you use up your life savings, it's only money. Because, hey, when you've got two people that have, you know, a 9-to-5 job and one or both of them loses their job, it's the same thing. You know, there aren't that many differences, except that you're looking at your business partner / spouse significant other all the freaking time. But other than that, you know, it's exactly the same as if you both walk out the door in the morning and come back at night. As far as the personal life goes, if one of you loses a job, that's an income lost. How do you deal with that? If, you know, if one of you decides to go into a different career path, and people do it all the time, how do you deal with that? So it's very similar in that aspect. I think the biggest block is when you sit there and you say, oh my gosh, this is so different than everything we've been doing. This is so different than everything we've been doing. It is. And yet you need to take those similar parts that you are used to, that you are comfortable with, and say, how does this apply to this new thing we want to create, this wonderful new thing we want to create?
And it, to a certain extent, it's like having children. I mean, it's still something you've got to grow, and it's still different roles you have to take on. You're both equally responsible. So if, like couples who say, we're going to have a child because our marriage is crap, you definitely don't want to do that with a business any more than you would with a child.
Right, and you really do get attached to that child. You know, even something as simple as the name of your business. We have so many clients that are in love with the name of their business, but yet it doesn't say anything. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't align with what they're doing, and it's real tough to get them to say, okay, you know what, maybe we need to change this name. Another thing about it being your child, which is we find kind of funny, we're fortunate where with our business, we don't have any employees. We don't need employees. But with couples that we've interviewed that have employees, it's very funny because if there's a problem with an employee, one employee will go to mommy and ask a question and try to get it resolved. If it's not the right answer, they're going to turn around, go to daddy and try to get the answer they want.
And kids do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I noticed, too, that you guys had a major stumbling block to overcome, Star Wars or Star Trek. You know, that is a huge thing in a marriage.
It can be.
However, we do love them both almost as equally. I give a little nudge to Star Trek because I grew up on it.
And I give a little nudge to Star Wars because I just happen to like it better. I didn't like... Oh, my gosh. You're going to lose a lot of fans right now, Lori.
You're going to lose a husband.
I did not like the very first
Captain
Tiberius Kirk episodes of Star Trek. So, sorry.
That's all right. I won't play this in my house. I will not let my roommate hear this because she's, like, massive Star Trek. But the question is, Barry, original or next generation?
Well, you know, how can you not love William Shatner? You know, it's just, how can you not love the Shat? However, with that said, how can you not love the baldness of Jean-Luc Picard?
And if you see our pictures,
exactly.
My husband is as bald as Jean-Luc Picard.
But better looking.
Is as bald as Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, but, you know, it really is a serious kind of question when you get down to the nitty-gritty, little, what would seem to others small, silly differences can be magnified when you're in business together. Just the fact that you've been able to work out who is the more people person versus who's the more techie person, really, it's almost the same kind of dynamic as Star Trek or Star Wars, because one's technology and one's people, just different places. And so whether you're in business with your significant other or another kind of partner, you still have to work out all of those things by being open and honest and self-aware. When you're working with other couples, what are you seeing other than the self-awareness problem and these minor differences, what are you seeing as being the big stumbling blocks that you help people overcome?
I don't know that it's specific to couples or to businesses in general. And I'm going to say that it is not specific to couples or businesses in general. And just to take a step back to the couples, you know, I would never apply for a job as a technical person. You know, none of the work I've ever done before, if we decided this doesn't work and I'm going to go apply for a job, none of the work that I will do forward of here, I may need technical skills for it, but I would never apply for a tech job. So think about that when you're separating out, you know, who does what in a company. But I think the biggest problems that we see in business whether starting up or, you know, you've been in business a couple of years and you need to pivot, change, is not the dynamic between two people, because we deal with solo entrepreneurs, but it is the squirrel syndrome, if you will. People just, you know, they want to add and do more and do more and do more in their business. So I'm doing this one particular thing. This is my skill set. This is where I'm at. I'm not making any money. So let me add in something that's totally and completely different so I can feed that. Well, now you've just split your time. And the totally and completely different thing that I'm doing isn't working. So let me add another totally completely different thing to help support me. Now you've just split your time in three. So I think that squirrel syndrome, that not having a clear definition, that not niching down or niching down, depends on where you come from, in your business, is probably the biggest thing we work around.
And one of the things that I'd like to add on to that is know what your strengths are and then take your weaknesses and have somebody else do them. If you're a couple, usually one of the people in the couple is good at one thing and the other person is good at the other thing. They complement each other. That's what makes them great couples to begin with. But even if you're a solo entrepreneur, if you're not good at something, outsource it. You know, find somebody, get a virtual assistant, get an employee, whatever it is. If you're not good at it, don't try to do it. And if you try to learn it while trying to build a business, you're just not going to have time to build your business. You're going to be just so into the minutia of learning this one thing, everything else is just going to go to pot.
And that's something I find with businesses that I work with a lot, is that people try to do everything. And when you're building a business, you cannot do everything. You do what you're good at, and then, just like you said, you outsource the rest of it. But a lot of that comes down to ego as well, don't you find? That people who go into business think, well, I have to do it all because this is my business, so I have to know how to do everything. That will not only kill your business because you're not spending enough time doing your job,
but it will also kill you
because you're going to be stressed.
Yeah, and I definitely think ego is a huge part of it. But one of the things it also comes down to is money. You know, they think they can't afford to have somebody do it for them when, in fact, it's actually costing them more to do it themselves. And I'll give you a perfect example. After many years, Catherine and I realized that writing ad copy, we suck at. I mean, we're just terrible at it. We thought we were good for years. We're writing ad copy. We're thinking it's great. We're wondering why we're getting no return on it. I should say very little return, because we do have a business after all. But we realized we're just not good at it. So we said, you know what? Now that we understand this, let's hire somebody, pay somebody, pay the professional to do it and do it right.
And the return that you get from an ad that's written right will more than pay for the person that's, you know, that's doing it. And when you look at how much time you spend banging your head and sometimes literally into the wall trying to come up with something is tremendous. So, you know, give yourself an hourly rate when you do these things, when you budget these things, and, you know, figure out, I wrote this ad copy and I got two phone calls and, you know, zero response. And I had somebody else write this ad copy and I got 100 phone calls and, you know, 25 responses. Which one made you money? You know, so it didn't cost you anything. It really made you money.
Well, now there's so many resources out there for doing these kinds of things, for outsourcing things, everything from Fiverr, which there's a lot of controversy over whether or not Fiverr is something you want to do, but it is out there and it's available. And you can pay somebody a small amount to do things that you can't do or you don't want to do or you're not comfortable. I'm terrible at cold calling. I paid somebody $30 and they spent 4 days making cold calls for me. And it was totally worth $30 because I got a ton of business from it. So, you know, you think, well, I've got to pay all this money. But by setting your hourly rate, how much do you charge your clients per hour? If you're in a service industry, how much do you charge your clients per hour? That's how much it's costing you to do it yourself.
Absolutely.
And most of the time you can do it for 50% of that. One of the things, too, that goes along with ego, and Barry, I guess this question is for you. I deal a lot with business process improvement, getting people to set up processes or get away from the processes that have, quote, always worked for them. Is a huge ego thing, trying to get their hands off how they've always done things. How do you help clients get around that?
Well, the way that we work is we don't pull punches. You know, if we see something isn't working, we just tell them it's not working. And when they start to get into their heads, but I came up with this, it's, you know, it's so simple, it's easy to do. You just ask a simple question. Do you want to make money? That's usually the turning point for people. Do you want to make money? When the answer is yes, say, okay, this is what we need to do to improve or change this process.
Because it's obviously not working for you.
Exactly.
And helping them to see where there's a problem and what's not working sometimes takes that light bulb moment for them. What is your sweet spot? What are your favorite kind of clients to work with?
Ones whose checks clear the bank.
I think that's for all of us.
Our favorite kind of client is the overwhelmed clients. Let's just take somebody that we're working with right now. They have a core business. It is a successful core business in that it makes them a living, not a wonderful, amazing living, but it does make them a living. And that's a good place to start. So now the question is, how do we make this better? In this case, we raise some prices to actually cut out a certain demographic that has been the client for years, that has been the customer for years. You need to cut out that demographic. And that I think is the hardest thing for people to do, is to say, what do you mean? I've got to get rid of this customer. Yeah, that customer is holding you down. It's holding down the entire business. So let's get rid of that customer. Then the next part about it is the people who, as I said earlier, are taking on too much. If you start with a strong foundation, this guy's got a good foundation, but they don't have a really strong foundation, and redefine the company in this case and create that strong foundation of who do we want as customers, how much do we want to charge them, what services do we want to give our customer base, and then expand from there rather than people who are doing 10 million things to try and bring in a dollar, but the dollar that they were bringing in, now they're only bringing in 75 cents because they've spread themselves thin. And now they're only bringing in 50 cents because mm-hmm. they've spread themselves thinner. They're working harder, and work smarter, not harder. Well, what does that mean? That means do the things that are going to make you more money, because just because you're working hard at something and spending a lot of hours with something does not mean that it's going to bring in any more money. And again, what's your hourly rate? How many hours are you working? Are you making minimum wage, or are you making what you deserve?
And stop being scared. So many
easier
small
said
businesses
than done.
Are just afraid. Yeah.
And
I'm
you
sure
know, they,
it is.
They
but go ahead.
I was going to say they have to be open to change, because there are times where we'll come across a client where the business isn't working, and you actually have to say, you know what, this isn't working, and there's no fixing it. So, you know, let's figure out what the next step is. What's your next venture? You know, let's help you along the way there, and let's just put this bad business behind us.
How easy and or hard was it when you went from one business to another, because you've had several businesses together since 2003. What was that decision process like?
Most of it came down to how many hours in the day were there. Trying to be able to focus on two distinct businesses with two different types of clients was stressful, to say the least. So we had to make a decision, and both businesses were successful. So we had to make the decision, which one are we going to give up? And it really, I don't think it was an emotional decision for us at that time, because we were getting into overwhelm. We were stressed out, and it was just, you know what, we've got to do something. We have to let one of these go. Which one is it going to be?
And right now what we're doing is we are selling a business, and we're selling it too late. So here's the drawback to being afraid and holding on too tight. We should have started this process a year and a half ago of selling, of looking for a buyer, of transferring this business over to somebody else. We should have started the process a year and a half ago, probably even 2 years ago, and we didn't. And it was an emotional decision. And emotional decisions cost money. And in this case, it is costing us a lot of money for making an emotional decision. This was our baby. We had a plan. We were going to change the world. We were going to make it all, you know, we were going to make this industry all better. And we held on for emotional reasons, and it's costing us a lot of money. And you know what? We'll pick up and we'll move on, which is what we're doing. We picked up, we moved on to the next great chapter in our lives, and try not to be emotional.
And the next great chapter can only be huge, because you've already gone so far. Tell me a little bit about your podcast.
Our podcast is Together 24/7, and we use it as a marketing tool. And one of the things that we do is we teach others how to use podcasting for a marketing tool for their business. So Together 24/7 is a marketing tool for us. We put out 2 episodes a week, and the first episode comes out on Monday, and the Monday episode is all about interviewing couples in business together. We want to know, how did you start? What stumbling blocks did you have? You know, what made you think you could do this without ruining a relationship? Are the children involved? That's a real hot topic for both Barry and I, because both Barry and I had parents who owned a business. Wasn't as involved because his father is a CPA. My parents owned a retail store, so we were very involved. My siblings and I were very involved in the business. So we want to know, what are children learning from having parents in business together? So that's what the Monday episode is about. The Thursday episode is a shorter episode, and it's just Barry and I giving general business tips. You know, this is our experience. This is things we've found. You know, we've even gone to the point of, you know, this is something that irks us. And if it's a pet peeve for us, it's probably a pet peeve for other people who look at your business card, listen to your, you know, your 30-second spiel, whatever it is.
So in talking, and we're going to talk again in December, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about families in business when we do that. With your podcast, where can people find your podcast and your website?
Well, our podcast is on both iTunes and Google Play Music, and or on our website, which is together247.net.
Okie dokie. Sounds great. I can't wait to talk to you guys again. You've been wonderful. Any last-minute advice for those who are listening who may be thinking about going into business with their significant other?
I was going to give advice on something else, but those are going into business with their other.
I got this one.
You got this
yeah.
one.
Yeah, just you love each other. Love each other in business, too, and make money together, and then you have even more to talk about when you go out to dinner.
That's right.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Barry and Catherine. I really appreciate you being on the show. We'll talk again in December. I can't wait to see what kind of information you've got for that. Thank you again for being on the show. We've been talking with Barry and Catherine Cohen from Together 24/7. They deal with people who have gone into business for themselves as a couple and as families, and it's really fantastic. We're going to be taking the next couple of weeks off for various things. And then when we come back, we're going to have a great lineup that will take us all the way through February. Thank you so much for listening to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. I own Small Biz Coaching and Consulting. You can find me at smallbizcoaching.net. And I look forward to talking with you next time. Thank you so much.